Sunday the 14th of April, 2013. An experiment by Danny Budzak and Conrad Taylor, recording a conversation while walking the streets of London on what seemed to be the first day of decent spring weather. We started from Holborn, through some squares and streets of Bloomsbury, across to Fitzrovia, by Portland Place and through Marylebone, up into and across Regent's Park, and then via Camden Town Market to Kentish Town. As usual, while we walk, we recall bits of personal and political history associated with the spaces we traverse, and make observations on architecture and whatever catches our eye. These conversations are generally good fun. But this is the first time we've recorded such a conversation. We both wore lapel mics and were linked by UHF radio, with the signals being captured together on a digital recorder. What you will hear has, of course, been considerably edited down from about 4 hours or more of material. We start by getting off the bus at Holborn.
Need to think where we want to jump off, really. Could jump off sort of soonish and okay. Go through the back of
go Bloomsbury
Square. Yeah. Go Bloomsbury Square onwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can we get off the next stop?
Yes.
Collect here for Holborn Station.
I haven't seen the new buildings, the new Central St Martin.
Where is it?
It's up by King's Cross.
Oh, okay, right. It's an interesting, they've got to build the big Google HQ there, aren't they?
Ah.
8,000 Google jobs.
I was amused to see that Eric Schmidt was sounding off about the danger of private ownership of drones when his cars are going around photographing.
Yeah, no, I know. It's, you just... Yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it? You just... They're so full of shit, these people. They really are, sort of...
Now...
Bloomsbury Square. In fact, we can see the first stock of houses in London.
Okay.
The first set of houses that John Nash was responsible for are up here. So it's a day for squares.
Okay.
I should have put more conservative clothing on. I should have put on knickerbockers and a tweed suit, perhaps.
Yes, that would be right for squares. So this square is Bloomsbury Square.
I rather like this grand imperial colonial thing here.
Yes.
I know ideologically.
Well, actually, yes, actually one of the things that's quite interesting when you look up is rhetorical bits. I'm going to take a photograph of this portico, if that's what you call it.
Yeah. It looks slightly Eric Gillish, doesn't it? The sculpture at the top.
It does, rather.
Ah, we might have Bloomsbury Square in...
What, you're carrying a Pevsner, in other words?
Yeah, but I think we're in Camden. I'd love to get a photograph of the bench with Microsoft on it.
Oh, what, the orange one?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a while before that guy finishes his role, though. I need a way of surreptitiously photographing people. Oh, actually, I know how to do it. In fact, it's probably better with the two people on it. There we go.
Oh, John Evelyn. Highly thought of in Deptford.
Yes.
That's where Say's Court was. The manor house that Tsar Peter trashed.
Indeed.
Dined at my Lord Treasurer's, the Earl of Southampton in Bloomsbury, where he was building a noble square or piazza, a little town... So it's an inquiry from 1665, plague year.
And before the fire.
Yep.
Here's the blue plague about. Oh. Where's the Camden-Westminster border? Is it Tottenham Court Road? Or is it Gower Street? We'll have to look out for that.
Okay. Will it actually announce it? Like the, in Greenwich where it said you're now entering a nuclear-free borough, which was a laugh because there's a nuclear reactor at the Royal Naval, at the Dale Naval College.
That's true. The one I particularly liked when all the local authorities adopted those slogans was that in Dalston, on West Paul's, where Balls Pond Road meets yep. Dalston Junction, it had welcome to Hackley, a nuclear-free zone, and somebody had wrote, don't fuck with the London Borough of Hackney. Which would have got the point across quite well.
Well, yes, but actually, if it could have gone the other way, in which you could have said,
a nuclear zone, and it would have been like a little Pyongyang. Hackney threatens the whole of London.
Okay. Yes. So Great Russell Street on the left-hand side here, some of the first stucco buildings in London.
And the Great Russell would have been one of those big families that we were reading about.
And yes, he didn't do very well, I don't think.
Nash. Oh, right. Oh, first work by John Nash.
But that was 67 to 70. So here's 70. So this is some of the first stucco.
Very good. It hasn't fallen down yet.
No. Nice.
Electricians and Art Nouveau clocks. The Harleys were another great family, but I don't think they had anything to do with that motorbike that just went past.
Okay.
We cut now to a street behind St George's Church in Bloomsbury.
This is the back of St George Bloomsbury.
And what is St George Bloomsbury?
Hawksmoor. Totally absurd. It's absurd. George II on the top. This is modelled on a pagan temple. It's a very strange Hawksmoor. Well, they're all strange. But that one in particular, because it's got pagan references on it.
Indeed.
It's a very big fence. I wonder what they're trying to keep out.
She must have felt pretty cold this winter.
Yes. That's rather nice, that building.
Built for the children of the schools of the United Parishes of St Giles in the Fields and St George Bloomsbury, in lieu of the original building in Museum Street.
Ah, super. I love it when you get a huge car sort of in a small street. Brilliant. Brilliant. Ruskin's Cafe, what's the association here?
Maybe they made it by nicking the stones of Venice.
Could be.
I love this guy's work, Trog, Wally Fawkes.
Mm-hmm.
So what's this?
It's a cartoon
museum.
It's
not the Dairy Supply Company Limited. No. It's
this is free.
Museum.
Oh no, you have to pay. Well, that's a shame. Hi there.
Hello. Some of the best ones are the ones that don't need captions.
Mm.
Gilray. So looking at some of his work this morning.
That's lovely, actually.
Yeah.
That's very good. £6. Very good value.
I mean, that would have worked in the Seven Years' War.
Mm. I used to love those books.
Yes, well, the Bruins and Urwilly, that was something very... Well, I was brought up in Scotland.
Mm.
Did Trog used to draw for the New Statesman?
I don't know.
Some of the work looks very... very familiar. My mum used to get that.
God, this is really evocative from childhood. Sort of images of childhood.
Yes.
Senses and colours. Hmm.
Thank you. It's nice to know this is... Yeah.
No, that's really good. Yeah. Good little find.
Yeah. I was conscious of trying to make the guy feel good, even though we didn't buy anything.
Well, I'm sure he's used to it. Just going to have a look in here.
I've eaten here before.
Yeah, so have I. It's a lovely place.
I think it's one of the first Pizza Expresses.
Yeah. What was this then? Some form of... Dairy Supply Company.
Yes, so that's, it also said it above the door of the...
Yeah. It's lovely.
Oh, with the milk churn in brick.
Yeah.
It kind of brings to mind something I saw recently within this strand about multiculti and and De Reeves that it's not just about seeing things, but noticing them.
Yes.
And often...
That's a good point.
If you look up, you notice things that you never saw before, even though you walked... I walked this street dozens of times
yes.
and never saw that.
There's a painting in Leeds Art Gallery.
Yep.
Ooh, what's it called? Something about St. Percy. St. Percy with this woman, very Pre-Raphaelite. I sat in front of it once for ages and suddenly realised there was a ghostly third figure. Oh, it's fantastic. But yeah, no, it's having the, it's spending time, isn't it, rather than just running and getting the detail. You know, the detail above the window there with the scroll.
Yes.
There's a real sort of whole harmony about the building, isn't there, that each bit has been thought of in relation to the other. Nice.
Yes, it's all of one piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the arches, which are such a feature of the Pizza Express frontage, they do harmonise nicely with the stuff above, and the way that the brick, you know the architectural terms, is the bits that go over the top, like the arches there. They all go.
There's
nice.
A keystone there, isn't there? And yeah. Then this arch, this red brick arch, is very nice. It's all very nicely balanced. It's good.
What I understand of this, insofar as I do understand of this Guy Debord suggestion of the De Reeves, is that you're supposed to just aimlessly wander
mm-hmm.
and just be influenced by the psychogeography that you bump into. You haven't got a fixed program that you're going to go left or right. And what I've been missing in the discussions around the Multiculture Project is around how one actually captures that. And you make it into a personal experience, but you could also share it.
Well, there's this psychogeography term, and then there's this psychohistory term. I'm not sure I totally understand what they mean.
No, it makes me feel it's got something to do with the shower curtain. One of the emphases that the Multiculti Project wants to bring is specifically the interculturalism, is the word they use, rather than multiculturalism.
Right.
And the way, and I think London's rich for that. You know, the kind of way in which, for example, a Jewish area became a Bengali area, and the Huguenot moved in here. And,
yeah.
But also, you know, even now, where we live in areas that are largely Turkish, and there are bits of it you know and there are bits of it you don't know, and that partly depends on who you know.
Yes.
So I don't know, if you had a lot of Turkish friends you'd know a lot about it, and if you didn't you wouldn't.
No, I think that's true.
So what you say about having a diverse group wandering around, it offers the group more perspectives.
Wandering up Charlotte Street, we're tempted by interesting-looking alleyways and side streets.
I don't think it will be open. We could go and look. I was going to go down these little alleys.
Okay.
I hope this pub isn't closing. Oh, there was a lot of building work going on inside it the last time I was here. Looks like almost original glass.
Due to a noise complaint from a resident, please speak quietly outside premises. Premises. Yes.
Is that original glass, do you think?
No, don't know how you tell. Pie and Mash Passage. What do you think that structure is? It's a sort of a boat, and there's
I think it's
Sulky Angels or something.
Yeah, it's some design company type thing.
Oh, you mean it's postmodern?
I think it's post-postmodern. What are these for?
They were so that when carts were turning, they wouldn't knock down the brickwork. Because this would be narrow enough. And actually, they would also divert the wheel of the cart if it was straying too far towards the road, due to the rounded form.
Yeah. I'm curious as to why these windows are like this. This is obviously some form of industrial unit, isn't it?
Oh, you mean that they wouldn't have been anywhere around in the night time, so they needed to make sure
it's not a shop front, so...
No, and they've got one of these split doors and hoists.
Yeah.
Newman Passage.
The door has been bricked up here.
Yeah.
Or maybe we just don't know the password.
Where are we? Don't even know which...
Wells Street, maybe?
Don't even know which way is north or south. That must be north.
That's north.
Well, then let's head that sort of meandery way. Newman Street. No connection with the Cardinal? Probably not.
We cross the border into Fitzrovia and discover some abandoned shop fronts dating back to the 19th century.
Last time we passed this way, that didn't exist.
No.
Which was, what, about 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Fitzroy Place. Does that mean that we are currently Fitzroving?
We are. Staff Library. A library of staffs.
Or staves. One of the things that I thought was interesting was a programme, it's one of the In Our Time programmes actually, about the encyclopedia, Pliny's Encyclopedia.
Okay.
Which was biggish, I think it was about 60 scrolls. And you can't easily flip through a scroll, really. So you had to invent the table of contents. Indeed, I think it was the first work ever to have a table of contents.
Oh, wow. This is old 18th or 19th century shopfront. It's very good.
Yeah. I was actually wondering what those shopfronts were like. Because they kind of... That's kind of when shopping was invented, wasn't it? As opposed to...
Markets.
And there's a bit in the London Mob book about the sort of practice that when you had London flaneurs, I suppose, and people would go and do window shopping.
Yes.
And even the lower orders were really quite interested in seeing what was in the shops.
Mm-hmm.
So just like they have in New Bond Street, they had thugs on the door.
So you get this creation of a wage economy gives rise to shopping in the sense that we understand it today.
Well, I think it's a different class that are visiting the shops that are actually spending money in the shops, I think.
But as you break up the existing social
order
where people have got gleanings and they have field gleanings and wood gleanings and they have certain access to certain bits of game and they have cottagers who have their own little bits of land, or they have commons which they have access to.
Yeah.
So you are not in some sort of nostalgic way, but you are more self-sufficient. But as you break that up and turn people into wage labourers,
then they do have to shop.
They have to shop.
I remember that we came on Ogle Street before and we ogled.
I think that's what you do in Ogle Street. Ah, we crossed the border without knowing. We're now in Westminster.
In case of emergency, we are ready to deliver a pizza to you. They're all identical bikes.
I wonder if they've all got the same sequence of registration. Yep.
Oh, they do?
Yep. Well, they haven't parked them in the right order.
How undisciplined.
Where will it end? And all the drivers are learners. Henry Fuseli.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Who carried on with him? Wollstonecraft? Shelley? Actually, it was Wollstonecraft. Before she settled down with
Godwin.
With Godwin.
Our next waypoint is the courtyard space beside BBC Broadcasting House in Portland Square, where we are fascinated by a number of round plaques set into the paving.
Enigmatically, each plaque bears only the name of a place. What do they mean? What's the relationship between them?
Berkeley Square, which I don't think we may go to today, is where Bertie Wooster lived. And it's also, of course, in Kind Hearts and Coronets. I shot an arrow in the air. She landed in Berkeley Square. It's when one of the... What are they called? The Gascoigne's? Get shot down in a hot air balloon while distributing suffragette leaflets.
Oh, this, I think, is the...
New BBC, I
the
think.
New BBC, yeah. To which I was introduced. Studio 50 is, I think, on the fifth floor.
Right.
Somewhere in that section.
Quite like this as public space. Mm. It's quite nice.
All these places, mostly associated with war.
Mm. They are, aren't they? What's the...
Well, not war, but news, should I say. Columbine.
Yeah.
Jonestown.
Yeah.
Mostly Waco. Sad stuff, actually.
Enniskillen, Auschwitz,
Austerlitz.
Stalingrad, Sevastopol, Wounded Knee, Little Bighorn.
Oh, yes. Are they themed at all? Well, there's Laos, Phnom Penh and Hanoi are close to each other.
But not Dachau, Stalingrad and Troy.
No, no, no.
It's difficult to know what...
Lidice. Do you know that one?
No.
That was the Aztec capital.
Oh, okay. How do you say that?
I'm not sure. That's why I didn't say
right.
It. Teotihuacan. Teotihuacan. So that was when... is it Cortez?
Does it tell us anything about this?
Oh, you mean a kind of meta plaque?
Yes, you do. That looks like Eric Gill.
It's a Gill. That's the BBC Light Entertainment plaque.
I think.
No, I'm kidding you.
Oh, right.
They are clustered in some way. Oops, hello, that's near
Sweden,
Stockholm.
Isn't it? It's where Linnaeus is from. Was from.
Okay.
Or he worked at the university there.
I've been there.
Ramallah.
Ramallah.
Grozny, Kashmir, Kinshasa, Kaliningrad, Inverness, Loch Ness, Skegness, Dungeness,
Elliot Ness,
Messiness,
Sellafield and Chernobyl
well,
next to each other.
They go together, don't
and
they?
Look how close Pyongyang is to Sellafield and Chernobyl. That's quite funny in a way.
And CERN, is this for the Large Hadron?
Yeah.
In search of a place to sit and eat our sandwiches, we plough on into Marylebone, an area developed in a Regency period property boom by aristocratic developers, and still home today to the property portfolios and investments of fabulously wealthy families.
Might need to eat my sandwich soon.
Yes, good idea. Home of BBC School Radio.
Mm, that's a great idea, isn't it?
Yeah. What I most remember was the music programmes. So if you had a teacher that couldn't sing or play the piano, it didn't really matter. And they... But what was also quite charming was the way in which they pulled together collections of English folk music and, well, actually, mm-hmm. British folk music, mm-hmm. I should say. Sea shanties and... Mm-hmm. And then they were very nicely illustrated as well. Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu to you, ladies of Spain. For we're under orders to sail to old England, and we may never see you, fair ladies, again. That was one of the ones.
That's very good.
See, it must have done something.
Mm-hmm. That's sung in the film Master and Commander.
Oh, right. It's also sung in Swallows and Amazons.
Ah. Now, just onwards. We'll soon be on Marylebone High Street.
So now, as of this morning, I know why Harley Street is called Harley Street.
Because?
Because that was one of the rich families.
Ah, the Harleys.
Yeah.
Ah.
the Harley family. But their names got double and triple barreled as they kind of married each
right.
other. Right. Fortunes were...
won and lost.
Were put together. I think Wimpole Street is up next, isn't it?
Yeah. Where did Rumpole live?
Rumpole of the Bailey.
Mm. Do you live in Wimpole Street?
Here's the Howard de Walden Estates Limited.
Yep.
And they're doing a big refurb.
They are, they're doing a big refurb in Marylebone at the moment.
So in Tudor times, this was countryside.
Indeed. Nice, I nearly said lettuce. Nice lattice windows. Okay. Nice lettuce windows as well.
Mm.
But lattice windows aren't so good. They wilt.
Yeah.
And,
well, it depends on what kind of window dressing you use.
See, this stuff was built grand, wasn't it? It wasn't...
Yes.
It hasn't become grand. It was always...
It didn't have grandness thrust upon it,
no.
either.
The Antique Wine Company, for example. Berlioz stayed here in 1851. This is tenuous.
Yes, it is, rather. It could have been for half a night.
Stayed here and had a cup of tea, and then he moved on. Here we are. The hedge fund industry. Queen Anne Street Capital. Magna Capital. International Property Investments, Pan Golding Commercial. I suspect you'll find out very little about these
yes.
organisations. That's lovely.
While I was looking at the history of the Cavendishes, do you know of Mary Cavendish, who was the Duchess of Newcastle? She
right.
wrote science fiction in the mid-17th century.
Wow. Maidstone Capital. It's outrageous, isn't it?
Now, what we're coming up to here, I can see, is Marylebone Lane.
Yep.
And this is what I understand runs on the former course of the Tyburn.
Right.
Which is why it's wiggly against the grid.
Ah.
Shall we wander rightwards? Or?
Yes, I think rightwards. This is a very nice pub, the Golden Eagle. Many a pleasant evening in there. It has a piano in it, and they do have a sing-song.
Oh, right. At a certain point, this area's become quite Middle Eastern, hasn't it, I think?
Well, there's always been the very big sort of Middle Eastern population around the Edgware Road.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes.
So it's slightly come over here. But it's the sort of place that Madonna had a flat here for a while, or a house or something.
Okay.
This is an absolutely fantastic fish and chip shop. Golden Hind. And various celebrities and very rich people, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a nice ambience, though, despite that.
Yes.
There is a little park at the top here we could sit in.
There's a nice idea. It's a busy street, Marylebone High Street, on a Sunday.
There's a lot of essential things here that people need to buy.
Yes.
This is near where Thomas Paine wrote The Rights of Man.
Okay.
He stayed in Mortimer Street, which is one of the roads off here, while he wrote it.
Just off Marylebone High Street, we find a sheltered and sunny garden of rest for sandwiches and more chat, followed by a visit to the Conran shop to look at stuff we neither need nor would want to spend money on, even if we could.
Sit in the garden, or we could go to the park. There's a park just round the corner by the church.
Your choice.
This is the Garden of Rest. Is this okay? Do you want the sun? There's another bench over
right.
there. Ah, it was a good idea to bring a sandwich.
Yes, I brought one. Corned beef in my head.
Corned beef. You sure you haven't got corny beef?
Pemmican, as they call it in South America.
Corny beef would be much more appropriate for the economy.
It gave Argentina something to do with its carcasses. Because, you know, they
originally they mostly raised their cows for the leather.
Right.
And until they figured out a way to preserve the meat, a lot of it was just thrown away.
Oh.
And then Liebig got the idea of making Bovril, which would have been too expensive to do in Europe, but you had all these carcasses around Buenos Aires. And then, of course, they invented refrigerated shipping.
Mm. Where's the River Plate? Is that Argentina?
Uruguay. Mm. Montevideo.
Mm.
And I think actually the River Plate is the boundary between Argentina and Uruguay. Have you seen the film?
The Battle of the River Plate?
Yeah.
Mm. At the beginning of the Second World War, they set up a sort of think tank, is the wrong word, but a group of people who were given the task of thinking of different strategies if Britain had been invaded and stuff.
Mm.
So also almost to develop a sort of internal...
A resistance, in a way.
Yeah, theory of guerrilla warfare. And Dennis Wheatley, the novelist, wrote a book about it. He was one of the people involved. And it's very interesting. It's almost like a handbook of how to fight a civil war.
Mm. I've got the Home Guard manual, in case you ever feel that you need training in that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like that, except it's more brutal and it's more imaginative.
Mm.
And so some of the stuff you think, no, that would never work, but some of it is very, very clever.
Mm. Examples?
I can't think of them now. It's another one of my... I've got 62 boxes of books in my sister's house, which I must bring to London, because increasingly there are all sorts of books which I want to reference. I'm trying to work out how many I can squeeze into my room at Cleveley Road. I reckon about half of them. It would give very little space for anything else, but...
How about starting the Danny Budzak Memorial Library?
I could, but where could it be kept? This is a very peaceful garden, actually, considering how central London we are.
It is indeed. The pigeons seem to know that they're not supposed to be here.
Mm.
That, I think, was a bullfinch.
Mm.
I'm not very good on finches, though. It's one of those bird noises that you can't tell where it's properly coming from, can you? You know the one I mean? It's going, ee, that one there. I'm guessing bullfinch. Ah, well, we live to see another spring. I thought the winter was never going to end.
It's flipped very quickly from very cold to actually hot.
Yes, well, it's the wind direction. The wind is now from the southwest, whereas it's been heading at us from
northeasterly. It was northeasterly last week.
Mm. I think that they should start the weather forecast with telling us whether the cows are standing up or sitting down.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, and how high the swallows are flying.
Yes, and whether the man with the brolly or the woman with the parasols come out of the cuckoo clock.
Yes, and how wet the seaweed is that you've got hung by the wall.
Also, whether my gammy leg's playing up or not.
Yes, they could keep a special Met Office officer who... was specially hired on account of his gammy leg.
Yeah.
I think we're onto something here.
I think we should write to the BBC.
Mm.
And now the alternative weather forecast.
That would be a nice script to write, wouldn't it?
Well, according to the cuckoo clock...
There will be an outbreak of cuckoos all over Southern England.
I mean, you could move this onto the news as well, couldn't you? And sort of now, followed by the main news, the alternative news, past the chicken, which you disembowel, and say, well, economic recovery, according to the entrails of this chicken, isn't looking very good. Followed by reading the tea leaves. According to the tea leaves, war between North Korea and North America is looking increasingly likely.
Yeah, I think I would believe the tea leaves, but I don't believe anything I get from the French press. Usually that's just grounds for complaint.
Mm.
Onwards?
Onwards. Onwards. I can understand poor people being cross. I can never understand rich people being cross. What have they got to be cross about?
Who is cross that you noticed?
The man with the phone. He's very cross about everything. I just want to have a look and see if they've still got a sale on in the Conran shop.
Oh, is that what it is? So I was thinking it was a pretty building.
I think it's unlikely, but they were refurbishing it and they had extraordinary bargains. No, I think not.
Going up, kitchenware, china, glass, cutlery, table linen, food, outdoor living.
I think we missed the sale. What a shame.
Is your floor, sir?
I think so.
Jump in here.
Yeah, I need to pay for these.
Pay for downstairs?
No.
I missed the chance to buy enormously expensive things for a pittance. The sale is over, it's gone. But they had all this stuff was in the sale, like jugs and everything.
Yep.
The quality of the stuff is really, really nice.
It is. It's lovely.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you would buy, like, not content with a little cardboard box that your eggs come in. You actually buy a ceramic version of it.
Yes.
Just so that your kitchen looks perfect.
Perhaps it's a fossil egg box.
It's the sort of thing that wouldn't occur to me to do. You have this enormous...
It's tremendously liberating to come to places like this and realise that there are so many things in this world that you do not need. It's a kind of Buddhist experience.
It is, yeah. Not only do you not need, but you've never even...
thought that you might have possibly. You didn't even know they existed. I mean, for some people, learning that these things existed would be torture.
I know.
Oh, my God, I've got to have one of those.
How devastating that your perfect kitchen doesn't have a ceramic egg box.
They've got some sweet-looking radios.
Yeah. Well, there's a radio that you can put in the bath. Well, I mean, technically, you put any radio in the bath, it's just it's not likely to work afterwards. whereas this one, I think...
ideally in use in bathrooms due to its silicon rubber casing. Here's another London essential. Your cigar cutter.
Of course.
I'm not even sure what these things are. Instruments of torture, I think.
I certainly wouldn't want to put any of my body parts in them.
Well, obviously that's a paper punch.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't believe that anybody who had that sort of money would punch their own paper. You'd summon the butler to do it for you.
Yeah.
In fact, you wouldn't even have to summon them. They would instantly know through your body language that you need a hole punched in a piece of paper.
Good grief. This glass desk, 1,700 quid.
Paperweight for £55. You just have to be careful you don't drop the £55 paperweight on the £1,700 glass desk. Right, so I can only presume they think that we were our industrial spies for some rival concern that have been taking notes.
Yes.
So obviously we weren't going to buy anything, and we've dressed down for the occasion, so they don't...
But they didn't know about the hidden recorder.
No, they didn't. Now, we could go to Regent's Park?
Yes, why not?
Right, okay.
Talking and walking our way through Regent's Park and Camden Town.
On two occasions, I found quite large... valuable things in London, and on both times I've handed them into the police and had no reward. And I'm tempted the next time it happens.
In heaven.
I found somebody's handbag once in the street.
A handbag?
It was, you know, like £20 notes in a roll. It had keys, car keys, credit cards, all sorts of stuff. And I suspect, I suspect if I had, you know, pressed a little button on the car keys, I would have found a local car that would have gone boop,
and the body and the boot.
Yes. And I took that to the police station and they said, well, you know, this is, they said, leave your name and address because, you know, it's really helpful. You've handed this. I never heard anything. Mm. But I think the policeman might have not made a proper record of that.
And I suspect the person went to the police station and said, I've lost my bag. And they went, oh, nothing we can do. A lot of dishonest people around now.
Yeah, I bet.
It was almost like it was a trap, though, because it had so much stuff in it. It's almost like bait.
Should we get into the park here or go up a bit more?
Yeah, why not? Let's take a look and see where we are. Got some news for you. You are here.
So maybe we went up Jubilee Gate, Queen Mary Gardens, that way. The Broadwalk's really nice as well.
Yeah. Yes, why not?
I'm here.
So maybe not take the first, but go up.
And into the, yes, Queen Mary's Gardens, which would be the most organised planting.
The Broadwalk always has nice planting as well.
Regent's Park Zoo is one of the, was the focus of one of the episodes of Freedom Pass, when they came to meet to look at a pelican which Alan Corran had adopted. You know, you can adopt an animal.
Oh yes.
And he and Christopher Matthews are discussing whether it knew it was an adopted pelican.
Well, whether it knew it was a pelican. Or maybe they say to each other, do you think those people over there know they're humans? Yeah, I've got, you know, one of my pelican mates has adopted one. See that one over there with the beard?
They announced this is going to be the warmest day since mid-September.
Wow. I always like this tall buildings over the tops of
Paris?
Trees. Vegetation, yeah. As if there's two different worlds, two different possibilities for the future. What a city might look like with much more open space.
Is this the Broadwalk?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That's rather busy.
A sign indicates that this way is the Honest Sausage.
I didn't know there was
dishonest ones.
No. I suppose you could get a dishonest sausage because it could say pork and be full of horse.
It could.
That would be dishonest.
In fact, I think sausages were a major cause of worry in Victorian England, as were pies.
Were they? Why?
You never knew what was in them.
No, well, that's still true.
Yeah. Why is there such a trend towards ugly dogs these days?
I don't know. I don't get the whole dog thing at all, to be honest.
No. Most of them look as if they've run into brick walls.
I think I must have a form of dyslexia. I thought that woman's T-shirt said in sparkly letters, idiot, but it said D-I-O-R. D-I-O-R.
Yes, I thought it said Diot as well. It must be the choice of typeface.
The huge amount of money she spent on pressing everyone has just, well, it fooled me and you into thinking it said idiot.
Idiot.
Which is a strange thing to have on your T-shirt.
But actually, that organisation, the Metropolitan Drinking Fountain and Cattle Trough Association, you see quite a few of their installations around. And it occurs to me that we need that kind of stuff again.
We do, of course we do.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're not, rather than have everybody drinking Volvic or whatever.
I mean, it's crazy. It's sort of this...
That and public toilets.
Yes.
Where are we going to kind of grumble on, like old men?
This way? Or that
yes.
way?
It's a measure of the civilization of a country.
Well, I would have thought
the state of its public toilets.
Yes.
Where they are and how many of them there are.
Your ability to drink freely and to pee freely.
Yes.
I suppose you could drink the contents of the Volvic bottle and then pee into it and return it at point of sale.
Yes, but it's a non-returnable bottle. It's an NRB, you see.
Is that the church at Highgate up there?
Is that
an aerial at Allypally?
No, no. It's the mast at Highgate, I think.
Okay.
Allypally's... I don't think you would see Allypally from here.
Okay.
Might do, but I don't think you would. There's a Royal Free Hospital.
Okay.
Do you think? I think it is.
There, just to the left big, of the
church.
Yes, I think it is.
So that's Belsize Park over there, and then Hampstead's behind it, so Highgate, yeah.
Well, I think we're in an area where the kind of the more main streets or the subsidiary streets of the main streets are actually more interesting than just bits of suburban street, as it were. Mm.
See, I wonder what's through here.
Yeah, okay. Near Peggy Duff territory here.
Oh, okay. Look right. Do you look right? You look okay to me.
Yeah.
Look fairly right.
Actually. It's all right.
Back in Camden, we still don't have the correct Pevsner. Grand 19th century bourgeois housing.
Mm.
Large scale. Slowly shaking off Georgian architecture. Not quite. Not as elaborate.
Yeah.
Doorways simpler.
Had plumbing. Yes, this kind of yellowish, is this the brick that comes from Bedfordshire? This sort of scrubby kind of brick? London brick.
Well, London brick came from
different kinds of brick.
Yeah, London brick came from London. Stoke Newington had big brick fields.
Oh, really?
Brick Lane had brick fields.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pay more attention to place names. This is obviously the street that leads to Inverness.
Yes. It's easy when you get the hang of it. Ooh, big change of style here.
We want that side of the road,
yes.
There, around there, yes.
Yes.
All that lot was built at the same time.
Wasn't it? I bet they looked at all these houses and thought, they're selling well.
Yeah, it's doing
some of them.
Inverness?
Yeah, I like the idea of just sort of the back streets around here, actually, rather than, unless you particularly want to look at the market.
Well, I find markets quite fun.
Right. I think at some point we'll get bounced into the market anyway, because this takes us up to the canal. There's no...
Do you know the part of the market which is the old horse hospital?
Ooh, no.
No, that's quite interesting.
I mean, maybe I do, but I'm not aware of it being an old horse hospital.
Well, then obviously you've not been there, because it's got bronze horses all over the ruddy place.
Is it near the roundhouse?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I do know it then, but I didn't realise it was a horse hospital.
Yes, it's got lots of kind of blacksmithing, kind of life-size seams in bronze. Okay. It's interesting how this particular street has developed this trope of sticking things on the wall.
Yes.
You know, having things like big boots and whatnot. Or
yes. An aeroplane.
C-47s,
yeah.
Even to the extent that there's a Chinese restaurant here, it's got a dragon crawling down the wall.
Mm.
It's the sort of place you could come if you wanted to be a goth.
Yeah. Or if you wanted to spend all your money on a load of old tat.
Well, same difference. I might want to be a more specific kind of goth. I haven't decided whether Visi or Ostro.
Yeah, well, there's all these dilemmas.
Mm. Or just vandals in sandals.
Yeah, or a Teutonic Knight.
I've had a few of them.
How Jamestown Road got its name.
Well, yes.
There's a Jamestown in Ghana.
Mm.
Isn't there a Jamestown in Virginia?
Could be.
I presume we're talking about James II.
Could be.
It's fine. I'll get to
you. This is a change from our usual walks.
It is, rather.
The home stretch. After a detour through a Camden market, a walk over in the direction of Kentish Town, and a quick visit to a bicycle workshop.
What was the bookshop that used to be here? Compendium.
Oh, yes, yes. I do well remember it.
Mm.
Have a nice meal by the Lock of Camden and the Camden Lock Market.
We could return via the 393.
We could.
Mind you, it's a long and winding road.
It certainly is.
See this chap with Emma?
Ah.
You're so shy. Yeah, I know.
That's okay.
I suggest we just deviate a little on here.
Deviate on. This didn't used to be open like this.
Yes.
But then it is possibly 30 years since I last came to Camden Market. So.
Yeah. So you see they have a lot of these kind of sculptures, which I rather like.
Yeah.
I would drop in here on the way back from Swiss Cottage from Thompson Reuters.
Yep.
And of course, at the time it was dark, but the lighting was very interesting.
Yeah.
In some ways, it just looks much more ordinary in the daylight.
It would certainly have a different atmosphere at night.
Quite sculptural.
With less people and more shadows and dark.
That's a nice little shop, Rayman. It's musical instruments, including... You can get a kazoo for £1.50.
Yeah.
You can have a frog that goes crack.
Yes. Chinese bass guitar, that's interesting.
Ocarina of some sort, is it? No, just more or less a whistle.
Mm.
Thumb piano. A small fleet of kazoos.
Yes, good.
A mouth organ you could swallow accidentally.
Yeah, you could. Which is why I think it's probably on a chain, so you can get it back out again.
You slap you on the back and you go, This is a nice shop for kind of basic cutlery and kitchenware.
It's weird, isn't it, that having this piece of space here that's so fenced up. In an area which has got a lot of...
Oh, primrose.
Yeah.
And what do you call this? It's alkanet, isn't it?
I don't know.
It used to be found particularly around old monastery areas.
Yeah.
You get a red dye out of the roots.
Right.
And is that celandine? The yellow ones that are like sort of spaced out buttercups?
All right, okay.
And more... Is this
called cleavers? The stuff
cleavers or goosegrass, yes. Yeah.
Or what grass?
Goosegrass.
Goosegrass, all right, okay.
Now, there was a use that was made for that. I think it was it used for forage or... I actually really like scrubby bits of land like that.
Mm,
they're much more interesting than the
wild something
manicured.
Bat cat looking for mice.
Oh, hairy cat, I think. If it took its coat off, it wouldn't look as bad.
But I don't understand why this is just vacant like this.
Pending development.
Coal. Coal hole.
What, coal hole?
I think so. Yeah.
No, I think.
Oh, the bags of coal in there,
yep,
and
yep.
It's
down the chute.
All ready for the servants to pick up.
That's Kentish Town West.
Yeah, well, that would take us into Kentish Town and the 253 eventually.
Okay, you see, I quite like Kentish Town. Okay. I haven't really had a chance to stop off and look at it.
Right, let's go to Kentish Town. I know, I used to live up there. As did Karl Marx.
All right, share a house then, did you?
Yeah, but at different times and space. This is lovely. Priestly house, how fantastic is that?
Priestly...
Joseph.
Joseph.
Yes, because J.B. Priestley is spelt different. I don't think it has an E in it.
Yes.
But this is very like the architecture, the social housing in Vienna.
So, okay, so this Priestley is educated in a dissenting academy.
I think so.
And sympathises with the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Gets his house trashed by a king and country mob in Birmingham.
Oh, yes, because he was a member of the Lunar Society,
that's
wasn't
right.
he? Ah, oh, there's a nice tandem bicycle. In fact, there's a horde of bicycles. By coincidence, they're lunar cycles. You know why they were called the Lunar Society?
They met each Sunday of the full moon. Which are their kryptonite locks? Are they selling second-hand bikes here?
Are they?
I don't know, I'm trying to work out. Bike shops don't usually sell second-hand bikes, unless they know where they've come from. You're open. I was going to have a look inside.
Is it open?
That's what it said. Oh, right.
You can see through that lot, you can walk through this
exactly,
one.
Exactly, it's the invisible door.
Thank you.
We don't actually, in case you're wondering, we don't sell any bikes, we just repair and service bikes, so these are all customers' bikes.
Oh, I see,
oh,
right.
I see.
Right, yeah.
That's why they looked like they were second-hand
That's
bikes,
right.
Because they were not only pre-owned, but already owned by somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, these are Schwalbers.
Yeah, they're great. They are very, very good. I need to replace them on one of my bikes.
What size?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get them today, I just want to have a look at some. They're really great, those tyres.
You know, companies who make, for example, strips that you can put underneath your tyre, mm-hmm. which improve.
Yes, I've had those.
Yeah.
But I think
might as well put it in the tyre.
Yeah, put it in the tyre. So
yeah.
That's exactly what they've done, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kevlar, isn't it?
No, it's just.
Is it not?
No, it's just literally just a huge amount of rubber.
Okay.
How thick that is.
It's a thickness, isn't it?
And the smart guard, which is the blue stuff on the inside, pushes things back out.
Right. Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Even if I try and actually. Obviously, this would never happen on the road, but if I try and put that in there, it pushes it back.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea is that any glass...
Closed cellular structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat, isn't it?
Key sort of difference to...
Yeah.
Normally what happens... I would say a large majority of punctures are actually caused by something which might have gone in... Got
and woven its way in. That's what I tend to do, is kind of check and see if there's any telltale signs of something kind of already in there and trying to find it.
Yeah, exactly, and just... pick things out. If you do pick bits and pieces out normally, you should be okay. And it's, we've been wanting to have samples for so long.
Oh, you've now got quite a...
Finally got all the samples.
No, right.
Finally managed to actually get through to Schwalbe themselves rather than distributors who just shrug their shoulders and go, oh, sorry, we don't have any samples. Because one thing is telling someone a tyre is very good.
Yes.
Another thing is...
demonstrating like that.
Yeah.
Nice to talk.
Thanks.
Take care. I wish them well. I've seen these a few times. I think this is quite a nice invention. Preferably not with weeds in, but...
What does it mean?
Well, basically, it's a planter.
Right.
But it's heavy enough, particularly once you put soil in it and plants and stuff, that those long handles are good things for locking a bicycle to.
Ah, right.
They have them in Exmouth Market. Well, that would be an interesting part of the audio experiment because we had an ambient conversation.
What does that mean?
Well, it wasn't just you and me talking, mic'd
up,
but we had someone in the vicinity.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to know what the fall-off is like.
This looks like old London before it was regenerated. It's like London used to be. It's an interesting little row of houses. Should we go and look?
There's little more to tell. We made our way down to Camden Road and caught the bus back to Stamford Broadway in Clapton. We had a good day out. It amused us. Maybe you too.